Hello, and welcome to Insights Edge from the Lagos Business School Management Hub. With our finger on the pulse of the business world, we're committed to bringing you insightful conversations with thought leaders, industry experts, and visionaries who are at the forefront of their fields. I'm your host, Emma Matar, and I'll be your guide as we delve into the latest trends, timeless strategies, and cutting-edge ideas to solve challenges prevalent in the African business landscape. Stay tuned. Welcome to Insights Edge, brought to you by the Lagos Business School Management Hub. Today on the show, we have Dr. Emeka Azinge. Dr. Azinge is a highly qualified and experienced lawyer, strategist, and scholar practitioner. He holds a Bachelor of Laws degree from Cardiff University, a Master of Laws in Commercial and Financial Law from King's College London, and a Doctor of Business Administration from the University of Liverpool, with a focus on strategy implementation and competitiveness. He is the founding CEO of Emedith Consulting Nigeria Limited and a faculty here at the Lagos Business School. He also volunteers in youth entrepreneurship via his virtual academy. He is a member of the Global Coalition of Scholar Practitioners, the Chartered Institute of Arbitrators UK, and the Panel of Neutrals of the Lagos Court of Arbitration. She was a finalist at the ESQ Eagle Awards 2021 in the 40 under 40 category and a recipient of the National Outstanding Leadership Award by the NAUS in 2019. Dr. Azinge, my far more learned colleague, it's such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be on the show. Thank you. Sometimes it's so painful listening to all that. Anyway, thank you so much.
Of course.
Thank you.
Today we'll be speaking on a topic that is extremely relevant for any business leader who wants to stay ahead of the curve and create value.
Yeah.
Our topic is innovate to disrupt, navigating tech and sustainability in business. Dr. Azinge, there's a lot of talk on disruptive innovation for business leaders, how to be a disruptor, protecting your business from disruption, etc. But many people get the concepts all wrong and all mixed up. In the context of African business and the Nigerian business landscape, what is disruptive innovation, really?
Okay. First things first, thank you very much. That's a very salient question. And I do like the premise of many people getting it wrong, because I think many people indeed do get it wrong. So disruptive innovation within the African landscape would mean, first and foremost, challenging the norm. So you're challenging what already exists because you're trying to change it as it exists or create new markets. So perhaps look for a market space whereby the underserved or unserved can then benefit. So what is peculiar about disruptive innovation is that it starts with a focus on the unserved, so not being served at all, or the underserved. So there's still a yearning, or should I say a lacuna in service, and there's still so much more that they want. So when you can meet these needs, you're said to have disrupted. So what really happens in disruptive innovation is the big guys, as I always say, are not taking notice, because you start by serving, in quotes, the very small, overlooked segment of the customers. And it starts to, you know, expand more and more unserved. People begin to key in. And because there are more people keying in, there are more resources coming in, quality begins to catch on. The moment quality begins to catch on, then the big guys begin to take notice. But unfortunately, at that point, it's too late, because those smaller guys already have occupied most of that market space and have what we call the first mover's advantage. And that's how they disrupt. So in a nutshell, that is disruptive innovation. So it differs from sustaining innovation, which is more of incremental innovation. So innovation in small bits. So disruptive innovation would indeed suggest that something major has taken place that has actually changed the landscape.
Amazing. Thank you for that exposition. I'd like us to be quite practical. So what are some actionable strategies for identifying and implementing disruptive innovations in a business setting, particularly utilizing technology? And how can this drive growth?
Okay, so first things first, we live in an ever-changing, dynamic, you know, environment, business environment. It's more and more volatile by the day. And so companies have to be more agile, more responsive, and more nimble to these changes. Now, how do you do that? You do that by, following the data in a nutshell. So data analytics is a very major part of this whole disruptive innovation process. Now, why is it important? Because you have to follow the customer perception of value. How do the customers perceive value of that project or the lack of? And to do that, you have to be following the customers on a regular basis, because what might be the perception of value today may not necessarily be the perception of value tomorrow. So as an agile business, it would suggest that you keep following the data and you notice when that change or that shift in perception occurs and you can meet that shift. So data analytics is very important. And with that data analytics, you know exactly what the customers want and you can meet those needs. And then there's the sustainability angle to it. So you're thinking about long-term resource conservation. So whether it's, renewable energy, whether it's investing in IoT, Internet of Things, or that sort of technology, but whatever it is, you're trying to do it in a way that in the long term, the business can still survive. Survive from an environmental perspective, from a social perspective, and from a governance perspective as well.
Very well done, thank you. Now, drawing on your wealth of experience, could you share with us some real-life examples from Africa, if possible, of companies that have successfully implemented disruptive innovations to transform their operations and achieve sustainability?
Okay, so there are quite a number, but I think the most popular ones I think people would be able to relate to, number one is M-Pesa. And that's from Kenya, and that's about, you know, inclusive banking. So how they were able to use, you know, just a mobile phone to ensure that those who were hitherto unbanked were now, you know, part of the field, so to speak. So they came in and they were able to buy their mobile phones, send money and receive money as well. So, you know, that was fantastic. So that's M-Pesa. There's also Flutterwave coming back from Nigeria. They were able to facilitate seamless transactions across the African continent. Some other players are now in that space, but I think that it's fair to say they pioneered that. And then there's also Twiga Foods. It's also Kenya. So with Twiga Foods, what you have is farmers through mobile technology were able to be connected to retailers. And so it just created a seamless, you know, transfer of, you know, the goods and services to the final consumers. And then, of course, you have Opay. You know, even though I'd say Opay is incidental disruptive innovation, and why I use the word incidental is it wasn't quite an organic process. So yes, they had this new technology. Yes, they were meeting the needs of the underserved, but because there was a Naira cash crunch and people couldn't now, you know, get alerts through the traditional means and they couldn't get cash, Opay was that alternative, whereby you could get your credit alerts immediately and it became, you know, fit for purpose at that time. So they now, you know, more or less disrupted the market, but that's not because it was organic, it's because there was a circumstance that occurred that gave them that edge. But Opay would also, you know, qualify as disruptive innovation. Some other examples, maybe not in Africa, that we can also relate to is Netflix. You know, Netflix is a typical example because it started off as a DVD rental company. And then obviously it was, should I say, premised on being in the same space and locality and that sort of thing. So obviously now with the internet technology, you can be anywhere and still have the benefit of the movies without being physically present. So that was disruption. So in all these examples, you'll notice that they were either underserved in that there were some people benefiting from the service and some other people who wanted to benefit but couldn't. Or there were people who were not benefiting at all and, you know, these goods and services now were made available to them. So it's always unserved, underserved. That is really the genesis.
Amazing. Now we've spoken so much on disruptive innovation and companies that have successfully utilized it.
Yes.
How can Nigerian businesses effectively now measure the impact of disruptive innovations on their bottom line and overall?
So first things first, I would say Nigerian businesses, especially if you're an MSME, you're more resource constrained. You know, now with everything going on, resources are more finite than ever. So you need to be very careful. So there's a process to disruptive innovation. And the first thing is following the customer data. So you need to find out, number one, who are the non-customers or who are the unserved. So either the underserved or the unserved, you need to know these people. Need to be able to realize what exactly their needs are and then go back and do your homework and decide on what product or service based on the information you have from them you can create that will meet those needs you had already identified. Now, it's not just going to the market. Haven't done that. The first thing is to then create what we call the minimum value product, something that is now testable, so to speak. You can test it. So you have a few members of the customer segment who test the product and service, and you get feedback. Based on the feedback you get, you then iterate, incorporate it into that product, and then you can bring out what people may call the most loved product. And what is most important for African business is you must continue to monitor and adjust. To monitor and adjust means you must have key performance indicators. Once you come to an innovation, should I say a strategic innovative initiative, there must be a metric. That's how you're going to measure. The essence of that metric is you measure as you go along. So you're not waiting for the whole innovation cycle to take place before you start measuring. You're measuring as that cycle is existing. The idea behind that is that if there's something wrong, you're able to identify before wasting all the resources and nip it in the bud, so to speak. So it's very important that African businesses utilize KPIs, which enables them measure and remain data-centric. Always follow the customer data. With the coexistence of those two, you can be sure that it will lead to some level of reasonable disruptive innovation, so to speak.
Amazing. Thank you so much. I like that. That's so practical and doable for business owners. My next question is, how can businesses balance their need for innovation with the potential risks, like you mentioned, and challenges associated with disruption?
Okay, so again, it goes back to following a process, a framework whereby whatever innovation you come to is tested. It's certain that there's a potential to succeed because it's actually what the customers want. And to realize if it is indeed what the customers want, you must know what the customers want. And to know what the customers want, you must follow the customer data. So data centricity is more important now than ever before. And that's the way that you can follow, you can monitor. And obviously, if you find that, okay, something you had thought was, you know, what the customers wanted is indeed not, you have to jettison it rather than spending resources on it. And that's what the metrics I spoke about enables you to do, because you would have measured and you realize it's not quite gaining the traction you had thought. And then you put it to the back burner. So data centricity metrics keeps disruptive innovation potentially alive.
Okay, so I'd like to circle back to our initial conversation on disruptive innovation and how there's a lot of talk about this. And I know that there are some common misconceptions concerning disruptive innovation. How can businesses overcome these misconceptions to embrace new ideas and technology?
Okay, first things first is appreciating the terminology disruptive innovation as a terminology and not an English word. Disruption on its own means something. Innovation on its own means something. So sometimes the confusion comes from giving it the plain, ordinary meaning. So anything that may sound disruptive is disruptive innovation. But disruptive innovation actually is a term that was started by an individual called Christian Christensen, who is now late, but he was a Harvard, business school professor. So it's a concept on its own. And what the misconception really is about is how it starts and what it's about. So it starts with the unserved or underserved. So in other words, if it's an innovation that is targeted to individuals who are not necessarily unserved or underserved, we will not call it disruptive innovation. We could call it transforming or sustaining, but not disruptive. Disruptive is because of how it starts, and it must be from those whose needs were not met before then.
So as we wind this conversation down, I'd like you to give some advice and some pointers to companies that are looking to innovate, to disrupt, that are trying to navigate tech and sustainability in their businesses, especially in...
Okay, so I think the most important thing is what I'll call strategic partnerships and collaboration. It's a very easy way to share resources. Is a very easy way to share knowledge if you partner with academia and you're getting the right knowledge. And it's a very easy way to just, do the whole idea of two heads are better than one, rather than trying to take it all on your own. Because again, if you're a business in Nigeria, especially a small business, chances are you don't have all the resources in the world. So you must be able to collaborate. And whilst you're collaborating, it's very important that you're exploring avenues whereby you can access finance, because that's very critical as well. So if you're able to access finance, either because there's a sustainability angle to it and in the impact investors who are happy that you're doing things that are environmentally friendly and want to invest in the business, not because of profitability, but because of sustainability, then that's a way to go. So another advice to businesses is try to be more sustainable in your outlook. There's so many investors out there who want to invest in businesses who have ESG principles and are big on it. So don't only think about the profit when you're doing business. Think about the environment and think about the social arm. And if you can incorporate these three, then chances are you stand a better chance of accessing the finance you need to innovate. If you're not able to access finance, then you have to be looking at collaborating. It's one of the two, or both.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for the insight.
Very well, Kate.
The valuable contributions on the topic. And thank you all for tuning in to Insights Edge. Do stay tuned for more insightful episodes.
That's all for this episode of Insights Edge by the Lagos Business School Management Hub. We're grateful to our distinguished guests and experts who shared their wisdom with us today. Their perspectives help us navigate the complex landscape of business in Africa, and we're honored to have them as a part of the Insights Edge community. Until next time, keep seeking, keep learning, and keep pushing the boundaries of what's possible.